Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
GOP presidential hopefuls spar in their second debate, with Donald Trump's absence again the elephant in the room. Plus, trading in shares of Chinese property giant Evergrande is suspended after reports of its founder's disappearance. And how Germany's economic slowdown could ripple across Europe and possibly the Atlantic.
The U.S. has the plan to depend less on China, and all these plans to develop industries, the IRA plan, will not work without European manufacturing, because if you look at the U.S. today, the U.S. economy is running at full capacity.
It's Thursday, September 28th. I'm Keith Collins for The Wall Street Journal, and here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. On Capitol Hill, lawmakers are showing little sign of resolving a standoff on government funding days before a threatened shutdown. As expected, Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy rejected a bipartisan short-term funding bill from the Democratic-controlled Senate. Instead, he's backing a plan driven by House conservatives, some of whom said they wouldn't mind a brief shutdown if it led to a better resolution of the spending fight. Many lawmakers now anticipate that Congress will fail to fund the government past Saturday, which would partially close federal agencies and temporarily withhold pay for federal workers and active-duty military personnel. Seven GOP presidential hopefuls squared off in the year's second televised debate last night, angling to make a case they should be the frontrunner instead of Donald Trump, who again decided not to participate. However, beyond a handful of criticisms about the former president's absence, the candidates largely trained their fire on each other and President Biden. Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley argued that the United Auto Workers strike could be blamed on Biden's economic policies. In the debate on the Fox News channel, she also criticized Republican lawmakers over the possibility of a government shutdown.
If they don't keep the government open, they should not get paid. No pay, no budget. That's the way we should
have it.
The stance marked a break with Trump, who said he supports a shutdown if needed to score conservative wins. In a counter-programming move, the former president visited the battleground state of Michigan yesterday. He expressed support for striking auto workers, but blasted union leaders and President Biden's support for electric vehicles, asserting that it would send workers to the unemployment line.
Negotiating a contract, you're all on picket lines and everything, but it doesn't make a damn bit of difference what you get, because in 2 years you're all going to be out of business.
We're exclusively reporting that former Arizona Republican candidate for governor Kari Lake will soon announce a run for the U.S. Senate seat currently held by Kyrsten Sinema. Sinema, who switched from Democrat to independent last year, hasn't said if she'll seek re-election, but the Journal has reported her team is assembling infrastructure for a third-party campaign. Journal national political reporter Eliza Collins says a Sinema announcement paired with Lake's run would intensify what was already one of 2024's most competitive and unpredictable races.
If she runs again, it will be an unprecedented three-way race, likely with three very big personalities in a state that is decided by razor-thin margins. Lake lost her governor's race in 2022 by just 17,000 votes. President Biden won by just over 10,000 votes. So Democrats have been winning here in Arizona because moderate Republicans and independents have turned away from the very conservative candidates. But in a three-way race, that all could be upended. It's a true toss-up state.
The outcome in Arizona could determine future control of the Senate, which Democrats currently hold by a narrow margin, thanks to the three independents that caucus with them. In Hong Kong, trading of debt-laden Chinese property developer Evergrande shares was suspended today following media reports that the company's founder and chairman had been placed under police surveillance. Bloomberg News this week reported that Hui Kaiyan was taken away by Chinese police earlier this month and is being monitored by authorities, though he hasn't been formally charged with any crimes. An Evergrande spokesperson didn't respond to requests for comment, and police couldn't be reached for comment. Last week, Evergrande scrapped an offshore debt restructuring plan that had taken over a year to agree upon with international investors. The CEO of X Corp is predicting the social platform formerly called Twitter will turn a profit next year. Speaking at the Code Conference in California, Linda Yaccarino said X's operating cash flow is nearly breaking even, and that more than 1,500 advertisers had returned to the platform after an earlier pullback by brands. Ex-owner Elon Musk had tweeted this month that the company's U.S. ad revenue is down 60% without specifying the time frame. And Facebook parent Meta may have struggled to gain traction on its metaverse ambitions to date, but it's not giving up. Yesterday, it unveiled new AI chatbots for its social apps, new smart glasses, and a mixed reality Quest 3 headset that overlays virtual objects on physical spaces. Journal reporter Salvador Rodriguez told our Tech News Briefing podcast that having spent billions on its metaverse push with limited returns, a lot rides on whether Meta can carve out a lane in what CEO Mark Zuckerberg sees as the next emerging computer platform.
The Quest 3 is pretty important in terms of becoming a metaverse company. This is the first big update to their line in a couple of years. And more importantly, this headset, which will begin shipping in October, this is the headset that's going to go toe-to-toe with Apple's own upcoming mixed reality device, the Vision Pro. Now, we don't know exactly when the Vision Pro will come out other than sometime in 2024, but when it does, this is what Meta will be offering for competition.
And hiring trends are pointing to the prospect of a more subdued holiday season. Logistics and fulfillment firms, known for their seasonal staffing pushes, are instead keeping hiring flat this year compared to last year's levels, owing to uncertainties in the retail economy. Consultant firm Deloitte predicts holiday spending to rise by 3.5% to 4.6% compared to last year, which would mark a significant slowdown from the 7.6% growth in 2022. Journal logistics reporter Liz Young said logistics industry experts are predicting a muted peak season.
So we've been seeing slow retail growth, and accordingly, logistics companies aren't bringing on the huge numbers of staff and aren't offering those huge hiring bonuses that we maybe saw in 2020 and 2021 amid the pandemic. For example, the CEO of one e-commerce logistics provider told me that the company plans to bring on 9,500 additional workers this year, about even with last year. But she also said that they plan to bring those workers on later in the season. So they're doing that so that they can then adjust their hiring plans as they can get a better sense of where demand's at that point.
Coming up, Germany's economy is struggling, raising red flags across Europe and beyond, and heaping pressure on Berlin to chart a reversal of fortune. That story after the break.
Enter a revolutionary business world where AI meets power with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro. Imagine PCs that boost productivity, creativity, and collaboration with cutting-edge AI. They're gateways to innovation, engineered with powerful AI performance, hardware-based security, and AI-powered threat detection. Plus, they're built sustainably and can be managed remotely. Transform your workflow with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro today. No product can be absolutely secure. Become an IT hero at intel.com/IT heroes.
While the Fed has set its sights on an elusive soft landing for the U.S. economy, European countries are grappling with stubbornly high inflation and quickly stagnating growth, with signs pointing to a Eurozone recession being mere months away. And at the heart of all this stands the German economy, once the Formula One engine of Europe, but which is now sputtering. Our Luke Vargas sat down with Clemens Fuest, the president of the IFO Institute, a leading economic research group in Munich, to learn what's at stake if Germany can't turn things around.
Clemens, not far away from here, tourists are gathering in droves. There seems to be a levity in the air. Though I wonder how much of that is Oktoberfest talking, because IFO's latest business sentiment index, a very closely watched marker of how German businesses view the economy, is showing a bleak outlook. Is the German economy the sick man of Europe again?
Well, I would say the sick man of Europe metaphor is exaggerated, but the German economy, yes, is in difficulties. Among the G7 countries, it's the only economy expected to shrink this year, and our indicators suggest that there's no easy way out of that. So in the last 2 years, we've had the shock of the Russian attack on Ukraine, the shock of the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline, which reduced gas supply to Germany in particular. The hope was that there would be something like a recovery this summer, but this recovery hasn't come. So that if we look at the German economy today, its GDP is still below the level of 2019, so the pre-crisis level. And what the data suggests, the survey data, which was incoming this month, is that there is no swift recovery in sight.
All right, so that is the future. Could you just take us back, though, to the factors that have contributed to the German economy landing in this mire in the first place?
I think there are two factors. One group of factors is more short term. Germany is more exposed to the Eastern European economies. Germany was very exposed to gas imports from Russia. Germany is then facing a number of structural challenges. That's the second group of factors. If we look at industrial production in Germany, we see that it is declining since 2018, and that points to the fact that there were issues before the pandemic and the Russian attack on Ukraine. Of course, maybe the most important issue is the state of the German automotive sector. This is the most important sector of the German economy. We had the diesel scandal. We have the transition to electric mobility. These are huge challenges for the German automotive sector. Yes, the sector is adjusting, but part of that adjustment is shrinking. So production in the automotive sector has declined, and that explains mostly why industrial production has declined. Another reason for this decline is, of course, the way in which energy-intensive sectors are affected by the rising energy prices. The chemical companies are telling us they expect energy to be more expensive in Germany permanently, meaning they are now looking to relocate this production to other places, the US, other places with cheap energy.
And another thing that could lead companies to pick the U.S. over, say, Germany is the IRA, right? The Inflation Reduction Act. What role have American subsidies had on the outlook for Europe? And what's the prospect for competing with that?
There have been fears that these subsidies may lure manufacturing away from Europe and to the U.S. And to some extent, that may be happening. At the same time, we have to understand that Europe already has a lot of subsidies. Before IRA, it had more green subsidies than the US. The trouble is that European subsidies are often very bureaucratic. So before you get them, you have to go through a lot of red tape, which you don't in the US. So IRA is an easier subsidy program. At the same time, if you think about the future and where the economy is going, I think Europe shouldn't imitate the IRA simply because a lot of subsidies will not give rise to sustainable structures, in my view. Let me give you a few examples. You get subsidies if you produce heat pumps in the US. You get subsidies if you produce solar panels in the US. These are products typically produced in emerging economies with low wage costs, simply because these are not high-tech products. So Europe shouldn't imitate that. There is another aspect of IRA which is not so bad for the Europeans. So the Europeans will have access to a US market where Chinese competition will be weaker because IRA is strongly going against the Chinese. So I wouldn't be surprised if IRA ended up supporting, yes, some manufacturing in the US, but also European manufacturing.
All right, so an encouraging outcome that you've sketched out there for German businesses, exporters in particular, though lots that still needs to be sorted out, a lot that could still go wrong. Could you walk us through what's at stake for the broader Eurozone economy if the German engine can't get energized and do so quickly?
Well, there is a lot of stake for Europe because Germany is the, as it were, stability anchor of the Eurozone. So the stability of the Eurozone does depend on economic performance in Germany being solid and continuing. At the same time, if you look at European manufacturing, a lot of it is concentrated in northern Italy, in countries like Slovakia, in the Czech Republic. A lot of that is related to the automotive industry, and these manufacturing hotspots are very interconnected. So if production in Germany declines, this will affect Italian manufacturing and manufacturing in large parts of Middle Europe. So there is a lot of stake for the Eurozone as a whole.
Clemens Fuest is the president of Germany's IFO Institute. Clemens, thanks for being with us on What's News.
Thank you. A pleasure.
And finally, this was supposed to be the year for the travel industry, and for most of it, it was, with airlines and hotels enjoying serious demand. But theme parks have largely missed out on the action, with a cold, wet spring followed by summer heat waves, leaving attendance across the three major regional park chains still below pre-pandemic levels. To salvage the year, WC reporter Will Feuer said operators are slashing prices on season passes and putting an emphasis on more adult-oriented Oktoberfest and Halloween festivities.
Almost all of these parks, actually, at this point, have two Halloween events during the September and October period. And the daytime event is more family-friendly, pumpkin carving, pie-eating contest. The nighttime event is a little bit more alcohol-focused. And they're really selling those high-margin drinks, and that is where they make a lot of their profit. And that's big business for them. A lot of them have these paid actors that kind of take over the park, dress up like ghouls and scarecrows and that kind of stuff, and they kind of rove around the park and scare people. And people are very into that. That seems to be where the industry is headed.
And that is What's News for Thursday morning. Today's show is produced by Mohsen Ali and Kate Bullivant. Our supervising producer today was Luke Vargas. And I'm Keith Collins for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back tonight with a new show. Until then, thanks for listening.
Technology can make the world better. At UST, we're building a future where people everywhere are empowered to live better lives.
It's transformation you can feel.
And you don't have to do it alone.
We believe in the power of technology to transform businesses and build a better world.